Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Sigmund serial data, and serial sister, you'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I've got some hot topics and some updates, and then I have such a juicy interview with the former EP of Real Housewives of OC, Thomas Kelly. You've heard about him a little bit in the news. We get right into the juice. But even if you don't follow the Housewives, this is a really juicy interview about any reality show, how it's produced, how the cast is treated, how the cast treats the producers. So much Hollywood insight. You're going to love it. And he's a total delight. So first, let me just get into a little update. Justin and I were talking about Eric Decker and how his little kid supposedly was playing with his phone and accidentally uploaded a photo of him in the shower. Like, little kid was doing a selfie, and the little kid, who's like four, okay, and adorable, accidentally posted the photo onto Instagram story, and it was him in the shower with his perfect backside. I talked about it. I talked about thirsty moms and how hard it is to be a thirsty mom. Well, talk about being a thirsty mom. The Juicy Scoop detectives zoomed in and realized that there's a lot of long brown hair on the outside at the very edge of the photo where the kid is. Meaning, it's like, imagine if I was Jessie. This is what she's being accused of. There's no trial set. She takes the selfie. The husband's behind with his perfect ass. She's like, let's make all these bitches jealous that that's what's fucking me every night. Let me make everybody jealous that this is my adorable, perfect-looking, chocolate-eyed baby, okay? So, chocolate-eyed baby, come here. Does a selfie, and go, look at yourself. Yeah, look at yourself. Okay. Hey, you know what? Here's the things, people. It's hard being a thirsty bitch out there in 2022. Sometimes you pretend your kid took a selfie of your husband's perfect body. Other times you tell your boyfriend, can we film a video celebrating our 1 year anniversary, say, and save it just in case we break up and I want to post that video anyway in a post-up breakup. It's a game. The social media with the stars is a game. So don't hate the game, people. I mean, don't hate the players. Hate the game. We don't know. I'm just saying it's hard. It's hard for thirsty people. You know, I'm dehydrated myself. Okay. Also, update on the Ricky Martin. I said it was his biological nephew who is accusing him of being a stalker after they had a relationship for 7 months. And because it is his nephew, and that is a relationship that is an incest, he is looking at more time, a lot more, in Puerto Rico than he would in America. It was pointed out that I said biological nephew, and people were like, I don't know if that's true. What we found is it is his paternal half-sister's son. Ricky Martin and his sister share the same dad. That sister has a son. Now, I don't know if the son is biologically hers, if the son is a step. Who cares? Okay. The point is, don't be dipping in the family pool for sex in any way. Okay. Find some other people. Okay. It's very, so I just wanted to clear that up because I'm not 100% sure of who, in fact, but he, again, Ricky Martin, his people claim none of this is true. And that this 21-year-old nephew, whether half nephew or full nephew or whatever, he suffers from mental illness and he clearly made up all these lies. So just to get that out. Couple little update on the Jen Ben wedding. Us Weekly is saying that something is not adding up. Ben Affleck listed his date of divorce from Jennifer Garner as exactly 9 years before his wedding to Jennifer Lopez, even though the former couple did not finalize their divorce until October 2018. So there's been these weird discrepancies. I don't know if he was like tired or buzzed or wrote the wrong thing on the paperwork in marrying Jennifer Lopez, and that's what Us Weekly is looking at. But so he's saying that the date of separation was 2013, and then he filed in 2015, and then they weren't divorced until 2018. I know that I tested for a talk show in which Jennifer Garner was going to be in it and be a panelist. It was her show, and I was going to be one of them. The show never went past the pilot stage. However, one of her juicy stories was she and her husband, Ben Affleck at the time, both found themselves up at 3 a.m. going to the bathroom, checking on the kids. And they're like, you know what? You got to get your bones in with your husband when you have little kids when you can. Okay. Quite distracting me then imagining her having sex with Ben Affleck while I have to like be funny on this show. That would have been in 2015 that I experienced that story. So if they were separated in 2013, we didn't know about it. And they obviously got back together because she said she was, you know, boning him. I don't really know. But then I did look up why, in fact, they did break up he and Jennifer Lopez almost 19 years. It was about 19 years ago. It was 2003. They were engaged. She had the big pink diamond and he had just spent $1 million celebrating her 33rd birthday, a big party, $1 million on it. They were so in love. Wedding plans set. This was going to be a big, huge wedding. This would have been her third wedding. She got married to this one guy way in the beginning of her career, and she divorced Chris Judd, the choreographer. According to this Daily Mail article, he got $9 million from that divorce, Chris Judd. I don't know if that's true. That's what Daily Mail said. Anyway, what happened was Ben Affleck was out filming a movie in Vancouver. He and Christian Slater's wife, Ryan something at the time, maybe they're still married, and Tara Reid all go to this strip club. And according to the stripper who told Daily Mail her story, they have eyewitnesses that they were all in a private room, that they were giving him, Ben Affleck, multiple lap dances, that Christian Slater invited them back, that they hung out together. That's what happened 19 years ago. So that's why she, rightfully so, cut off the wedding. I think it's great. He's a different man. It's 19 years later. But I just wanted to clear that up because I couldn't remember and I figured it out. Also, people believe that Ben Affleck has had a hair transplant. I immediately said no until I looked it up. Look it up. And also, I remember that Casper Smart, who she dated after, who is the singer that she has the kids with? After she broke up with Mark Anthony, she dated Casper for a while. He was very into her. He seemed like a delight. But there were reports, again from the Daily Mail, back in 2012. Isn't J-Lo enough for you, Casper Smart? Toy Boy is one of the world's sexiest singers caught slinking into a seedy X-rated peep show. I remember that was a big scandal. You know, it's not on the woman how hot you are if a guy cheats or not. You know, it's the guy who's cheating. Or, I mean, can you believe going, like, really? Even in 2012, I mean, maybe there wasn't OnlyFans, but there certainly was online porn. Like, you're still going to, like, a brick-and-mortar porn shop. Anyway, very strange. So tonight I am, you guys have watched, by now you will have watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm all up on it, but I thought this article was kind of interesting that Lisa Rinna commented on people talking about, like, on a podcast that they really thought that there wasn't enough time given to grief and more time given to the fact that Crystal used the word dark, saying Sutton said something dark. That got three episodes. And so Lisa Rinna then commented and was like, yes, I'm disgusted that Bravo only gave one episode dedication to my mother, Lois. I just want to say, Lisa Rinna, I love you. I love you on the show. I love your Lisa Rinna beauty. I'm wearing that lipstick right now. A lot of people ask me. It's from Lisa Rinna. But I know you have to comment on everything, but I don't agree. Okay, a lot of people's parents in the franchise have passed. And your mom was beloved and she was great. But I think they did a great job. I think we're covering it. And sometimes, you know, that's it. They dedicated it. We got to see it. We got to see you go through it. You got to talk about it. You know, That's my opinion. I think you're stretching a little, girl, but whatever. It got me talking about you, so you probably did the right thing by commenting. Speaking of which, one more juicy tidbit of the Housewives news. So Tamara and Vicky were on Watch What Happens Live, and they still have yet to announce Tamara's return. So I'm guessing they're going to announce Tamara's return with maybe another OG at the same time. But she and Vicky both looked great, and they had a good time. And then at the end, he goes, "What's your thorn? What's your rose about the ultimate girls trip at Dorinda's?" They both said, "Oh, we had fun, was the roses, whatever." And Tamara said, "My thorn is when Jill Zarin tried to sell our likeness or my likeness on her website." I was like, wait, what? Does she have like shirts with Tamara's face on it? So I called the source. I asked Allie, what was this about? And she told me, if you watch the show, a lot of them are giving each other gifts. And one of the gifts that Jill gave everybody were these great sweatshirts. I have one. They're excellent quality. They're like $50. Like they're really thick. And they're black, and that each one, she got the girl's quote on it. So I think Tamara's was like, there's a lot of housewives, but no one hotter, something like that. And then it says Team Tamara on the back. I think you see Brandy wearing one morning, Team Brandy. Well, in order to make those, the minimum amount that you could make was 12. So she gave each girl one, and then she had 11 of each. And so they put it on the website to sell the 11 off and give the money to charity. And the girls didn't like that, so they took it all down. So there is a box at Jill Zarin's house of the Team Tamaras, the Team Evas, all that stuff with their cute quote on it. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I just wanted to clear that up. I'm going to be at their BravoCon weekend, okay? I have a live show. Tickets are selling great. There's only one show, so once it's sold out, that's it. And Carlos King is joining me. And it's October 15th. Go to heathermcdonald.net. But let me see. Maybe they can come and sell their sweatshirts. Maybe they'll give me permission to throw them out to the hottest fans. I don't know, but I wanted to just explain that. I really hope all these housewives can get together because I freaking love them all. And I'm having a great time watching it. So here we go with even more, with all the inside scoop ever with former EP and reality show producer superstar Thomas Kelly. Guys, I want to tell you about detoxing your hair because I think it's really important. I just used Way's Clarifying Detox Shampoo. This is clarifying shampoo that deeply cleanses and really strengthens hair while removing that product buildup. The apple cider vinegar helps exfoliate, and it really helps add to the shine and smoothness of your hair. And just really helps to remove that hard water deposits and impurities that just happen over time. I already noticed a huge difference. I also love Way's leave-in conditioner. This is perfect. You spray it on your hair when it's wet, and it makes detangling your hair so easy. And what I love, because I do dry my hair straight with a hairdryer, it really helps protect your hair against the heat up to 450 degrees and reduces damage, frizz, and flyaways, which is just really helping to give like that perfect smooth blowout look. You're gonna love it. I also love the scalp serum because your scalp is where it's at. That's where it's all coming from, people. And it can get dry and itchy and irritated, and this is making a huge difference as well. So I want you guys to enjoy your hair more. Find your way. Get customized hair routine when you take their quiz at theway.com and use the code JUICY to get 15% off your purchase. That's 15% off your entire order at theway.com. That's theouai.com, code JUICY. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I think this is going to be extremely juicy. I'm
so excited
with Thomas Kelly, producer of Real Housewives of OC, Beverly Hills, Dallas, numerous other shows.
Potomac too.
Thank you so much for coming to
thank you for
OC
having me.
Headquarters.
Super excited
here for the summer.
Thank you.
I mean, let's just start with OC because we're in OC, and your name has popped up recently because you're not going to be doing the next season of OC.
Officially, no. Not coming back after three seasons as the EP.
Right. And so, well, first, like, so with that, we'll get into that. Then I want to get back, but let's just get to the hot stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, there's been rumors swirling and there's been other shows that have talked about the fact that a big storyline last season was that Nicole yes. came on the show.
Nicole James.
And it gets revealed that she had gotten a boob job that apparently she wasn't happy with by Dr. Dubrow. And there was some type of lawsuit. And that's, everyone's rumbling about it as she's the new cast member. They go to Heather Dubrow's house for a beautiful Nobu sushi dinner. And Emily brings it up. And it obviously, what I believe it was, people wondered, how did they not know? Well,
yeah.
If it was 10 years ago and lawsuits are kind of part of any plastic surgeon's business, you know, something they have to deal with, malpractice, I believe her reaction was she was friendly with Nicole, but had no idea.
I agree with that. Yeah. No, I think, look, that's what's so juicy about this story yeah. is that, you know, you start following these things on these shows
yeah.
and people start talking on camera. And our job as producers is to follow it, to track it. And so when this came out and was brought to Heather's attention, of course she was mad. Of course she was freaked out. Like, of course she was confused. Did I know who this woman was? Don't forget, she told Shannon on a call, that's the wrong Nicole. Because she had a different name back then.
And Shannon was insisting,
no, this is the same woman. I'm concerned. That's what makes this so nuanced and so intriguing, right?
Yes.
It's like, we don't know who this woman's identity is. Shannon's like, she looked like Pamela, you know, Anderson back then with the big boobs and the blonde hair and this and that. Can't be the same woman. And Heather shot it down with conviction. Yeah. This is not the same woman. Okay, so intriguing, right? Yeah. And then it comes out and literally all of us, no one knew. I was on the edge of my seat because Heather, you know, we have conversations and Heather's been open about this. She thought that production knew and was setting her up. I mean, that's a natural instinct for a cast member to feel that way because, you know, whenever things don't go well for someone, they point to production, they want to blame them, right? She's been open about having those feelings. We've insisted, no, this is our job is to follow these stories, let them unfold, and you guys discover it for yourselves on camera. So she was surprised. Yes, of course.
But when you guys hired Nicole to be on the show, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, were you aware that she had a history with Dr. Dubrow?
No. No. And there are certain background checks that, you know, cast members go through, especially the new ones. But some of these things don't come through.
Yeah, but a lawsuit from 12 years ago that was settled out of court wouldn't be something that would pop up, I would assume.
Most likely not.
Yeah.
So we were blindsided just as much as everybody else. So that's, and our job is to follow it.
So you guys see that this is coming up, that Shannon's telling Emily and Gina about it and everything, and you go into the sushi party. And so she feels blindsided. We see the anger. Mm-hmm. We see Terry in his leather jacket and just getting, you know, pissed. Now, from that is when Noella says, and which Noella had an issue with Heather, she says that it got more than what we saw at home. That, like, you know, she pushed someone or touched someone. She has claimed she never has. I mean, I don't know how much you can share about those rumors.
Right.
You know, Tamara was asked about it on Jeff Lewis's. Kelly Dodd called in and claimed, yes, it's true. So
there's a lot of speculation and a lot of talk, which I always think is intriguing. You know, unfortunately, my name's gotten thrown around a little bit, but there's a lot that we can't say because we sign NDAs with these shows, mm-hmm. and it's important that we keep that safe and honor those NDAs. But I can tell you that, you know, Noella has made her claims. She's also been called out for being a liar. We saw Heather being angry, and she's admitted it. She saw red. She was angry. Yeah. If you agree with her or not, that's up to you. But she was mad, and, you know, no one's really going to know what happened.
They go upstairs, and the people continue with the sushi. And is that when she and Terry figure out who she is, and in fact, it was settled.
I'll tell you what happened.
To figure that out.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Well, you know, a lot of times if cast members are having a moment on camera, they turn more. They're producers. That's what we're there for. You know, they want to ask us questions. They're upset. Yes, Heather was. She was baffled. Okay, so Gina felt obligated to break the news to Heather, right?
Yeah.
That night, like that Shannon was making these accusations, blah, 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 or making these assertions about Nicole James. And Gina wanted to clear the air. She felt the need to do that. So when Heather heard that information, her head was spinning. You know, she walks off camera. We saw that.
Yeah.
And she was questioning, like, what's going on? What is this about? Our job as producers is to, you know, make sure everyone feels safe and comfortable in the environment they're in to have these discussions. So her job and everyone else's job on the cast is to find out on camera exactly what's going on. And when that's an uncomfortable moment, it's hard sometimes. And your instinct as a cast member sometimes is to walk off. You get mad. You try to figure it out. You don't want to move forward. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to come back and you have to face it. And she and Terry did. Because Heather, I really, you know, as far as what I was witnessing, and we all saw it on the show, she was blindsided by this. Like you said, it was like this happened so many years ago. Maybe, you know, and doctors get sued all the time. So it's like, was this just one of those things that someone took care of and the information never got to them and they didn't know? So I think the really interesting thing that happened was, you know, Heather's instinct and Terry's instinct was to think that we knew and that we were setting them up. That is not true. That is not true. And I understand that reaction. And that night I kept saying to them, I understand why you're frustrated. I would be too if I brought my friend onto a show or invited them. And then all of a sudden I found out that they had sued my partner. Of course you're going to be frustrated. We didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, it's like the classic thing that I've gone through my head a million times. And not until I interviewed Carlos King, who worked
Love
on
Carlos.
Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah,
because I was
and Atlanta
like,
for many years.
Why,
yeah.
You know, when did Teresa find out that they hired her sister-in-law? Mm. And like, where was she blindsided? Did she feel tricked? And he kind of cleared it up too, where it's like, it's not, you know, this mystery that you think, but there's still this underlying, like, you know, they're frenemies or whatever you want to call
it.
But like, with that, it's interesting because then when they had that in that like mafioso moment with two ponytails.
Oh my gosh.
Where,
Heather
like,
and Shannon.
Like, if you ever come from it, I was like, okay, you're right exactly what you said. You get hired to do this show. And part of it is reveal everything about your life, but also be a team player and don't go out to dinner by yourselves to have a juicy confrontation. Make sure that we're there.
Thank you.
And I actually remember hanging out with after the breaking of the ground party, which we were invited to. Heather invited our family and we came and we stayed here. And my son was like little, all of our kids were little. So it was super fun part day. And we go over to Shannon's after and Megan King and Vincent's there. And I think she had just been,
She was just there.
So
season
she
before
was
she
just
came
there
on.
As like a, just a girl like hanging out. And Brooks was there who was new to dating Vicky.
Amazing.
And we're just like all hanging out. And, and I remember Shannon, we all went out to Mastro's that night.
Yeah.
And I want to
say, I was going to say it's either Mastro's, Javier's, or the Quiet Woman.
And I want to say that that one of them was Vicky or Sony saying that they were getting a text from the producer saying like that they were pissed that we were all, not me, that
not
me, but they were all going out and, you know, and really nothing juicy happened that night, but like,
it could have.
But it could have happened. And it was like, how dare you? And that was my first clue to be like, oh yeah, you're right. Like you're filming a documentary. Like you wouldn't be doing this if you're following a murder trial and the convict is the subject of it. And you're like, or the accuser is the subject of it.
Right.
If you're doing the staircase, you know, you wouldn't want Michael.
Them talking
Peterson
off camera.
Going to meet his attorney without you or whatever. So I'm like, oh, okay. I get that, you know? And,
we're up against that all the time, Heather,
right.
All the time. You see it on social media, you see them out doing stuff and we're like, what are you doing? Save it for camera. There is a fine line between, but these women, you want them to have authentic relationships. You want them to really be rooted in a realistic, you know, rapport. So you want them to hang out and get to know each other, but you don't want all those juicy bits to happen off camera when they're together. So it's a balance,
but
right?
Do you feel like they're in this reality world of especially Housewives, there are these little like alliances that happen when they're off and off break. And they're like, listen, if anything happens, if you find out my husband's cheating, if you you got to promise me that you're going to like say, meet me at Ladero Ranch Gate for a walk with no like,
yeah.
like
that's where no cameras because I'm not talking about this on camera.
That's why I feel like sometimes those when we watch something happen explode between these women, it's so bad because I feel like they had some secret alliance before, but then when the person was put in it, they were like, you know what? It's my job to do this on camera and I want to keep my job and I'm just going to say it at this cocktail party.
Perfect example is this past season of Orange County when Shannon and Gina and Emily go out to Javier's, one of the three spots in Newport that people go to.
Yeah.
After we shot at the deck, a wonderful moment. I loved seeing those three just have so much fun and bond.
The restaurant.
The restaurant. Uh-huh. Yeah, on the beach. And they were talking about Nicole James and they had such a great conversation. There was a lot more to that conversation that we don't have time to show on the show, but they were laughing and, you know, whooping it up in Vicky Gunvalson's terminology. So afterwards, they're like, I don't want to stop. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's one of those moments. It's like, no, go home. Because I don't want you guys going and doing stuff off camera. But they go. Anyway, they have to live their lives. I get it. So it was so frustrating.
So they go and the cameras weren't there.
They did. They went to Javier's without cameras. But
because you couldn't just continue because there's hours and you didn't clear it and everything.
Correct.
Yeah.
We didn't have permission. We had another schedule. We have another shoot to go to.
Right.
You know, we have 3 months to shoot this entire season. Right. So we could do it for a year. They used to do Atlanta for like 6-9 months or something like that back in the day. But anyway, so they go to Javier's. They continue to drink. Their drinks are being poured. They're having a good old time. And Shannon says, this is what we see on the show. Shannon says, I just can't believe it. Like, this Nicole James, it's got to be her. Pinky promise. They did a pinky promise. This is what you're talking about. There's the alliance.
Yeah.
Because Shannon felt really close to them. And this is what we love about Shannon, right? Is she just like, she's wide open. And so she says to them what she learns and has learned about Nicole James. She knew the juicy scoop.
Yeah.
And so they made a pinky promise and then off they go, right? And then Gina, the next day, she wakes up. She's clear-minded. She's no longer, you know, under
Javier's.
Yeah, with four margaritas in her or more or whatever. And so she's like, can I curse?
No, yeah.
She's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I have this information and now I have to like hold it. And then she meets Heather at... We're at Mastro's, I think, one of the three places. And she's sitting there with Heather, and she's like, are you going to tell her? She's like, what? And then Shannon's thinking to herself, oh, fuck. You know, I had too much to drink. I'm doing the pinky promise. And that was broken. So that's a perfect example of how that stuff off camera can get really messy for you.
And then in Gina's defense...
But really good for the show.
Yeah, and in Gina's defense, she's probably like, I don't know what this lawsuit is, but I don't want it blown up on camera that could hurt him more. So it's like, I understand. It's just like...
And jeopardize her new relationship with Heather DeBry.
Right.
Which is what was really important to her.
And getting those warm towels. Yeah.
Being able to cozy up in that bathroom.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that? Certainly Gina does. And those like little nice little leather jackets and the outfits that Heather, you know, provides for her.
Yeah.
She looks great, right? Gina looks amazing.
Oh, Gina looks great. Yeah. And then, so thanks for explaining that, but you are no longer with the show.
I'm not with the show anymore. No.
And that is because they said goodbye to you.
It's so interesting, right? Like when
they put you on pause.
I was on pause. Yeah. I've been put on hold, right? It wasn't a block.
Yeah.
But on hold. And, you know, Bravo has this philosophy, agree with it or not, that sometimes relationships need to be refreshed on the cast, within the producing world, all of that. I don't entirely disagree. I actually think that I'm the best person for this group of women because of the history I have and because I know how to push them out of their comfort zone to deliver something that otherwise they might not be feeling comfortable to deliver with somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. That's my personal philosophy. That's what I'm good at. That's what I've been good at. That's why I've been so successful on these shows over the years. But I think there's so much talk about Orange County and where it's going. Mm-hmm. And there's been so many, some might say misfires in casting or whatnot. But whatever it is, it's like there's a lot of pressure on the show. to succeed and to continue on and to maybe re-find its original image. Because this is the thing, right? You always want to reinvent these shows. You always want something fresh. You want to move it forward. But sometimes when you do, or you're going in a different direction, it might not be exactly what everybody's really wanting. So it's an experiment of sorts, but it's a very expensive one. And I understand that Bravo has to make certain choices. And so moving away from me to be the showrunner on this, it's their decision. I have made a huge career out of Bravo. I'm appreciative. I love it. I've loved working with them, but now I'm also finding new paths for myself too in my career. So, I'm currently part of the Ex Housewives Club until they asked me to come back and do one of the other shows. I've done, I don't know, four franchises so far.
Well, I think that the success of the Ex-Wives Club, you know, at Dorinda's house, people loving that, which is just, you know, so only on Peacock. I'm sure they'll replay it on Bravo later, but it's on Peacock. And I think people loving that is adding to the rumors that OC is bringing back. I've heard everything from Tamara seems to be the strongest one that people believe is coming
there's
back.
A buzz about
but
that.
But I've heard also Alexis Bellino, and I've heard, you know, Vicky, of course, and Gretchen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would leave Gina and Emily coming back. We do know that Jen and Noella left. And Noella...
What do you think about that?
I'm okay with Noella leaving because I just don't think she formed any like real friendships and because of Sweet James.
She had limitations and the access of her life.
She has a whole daughter with somebody else that we couldn't talk about because that dad didn't allow it. And then this son can't be allowed. Yeah. So we just get her mom on a lounge chair and like a dog. Yeah. It's just like there is.
What about a friend of?
Who is she friends with though?
Shannon.
Okay, but I don't really believe
just playing devil's advocate. I hear you though.
I don't think Shannon's, you know, Shannon can be nice to people and stuff, but like who Shannon's really gelling with and laughing with are women that are a little more from her background. Not even necessarily her
age. You need
age,
a natural just like chemistry.
Like I get along with Shannon. We both went to USC. We both are that. We're both moms.
It's easy.
You know, close in age. Like there's just something that works. And I think when you try to all of a sudden mix these casts, you have to go back to the old ways and go, it was about a group of women that were supposed to be friends. Now you're individually casting people because you need to have this, you know, particular demographic and this particular ethnicity. And I think that's where some of these had some less popular seasons.
Yeah, but I agree. And you're touching on something so important, which is casting.
Right.
And I think my experience out of all the shows, I will say Orange County is the toughest one to cast. Why? Because look, every other franchise has a giant city, a giant group of a pool of women to choose from and to seek out. Orange County is a small community. We don't have the pool of people to choose from, right? So you're hitting on something really interesting. So they're trying to bring in interesting people and have them gel. But if it doesn't connect and the chemistry is not there, it's not going to work. You're right. Because the formula is a group of women who are authentically invested in one another. And you know, some of them, you know, who have been successfully invested in one another have worked at it while they're on the show to get a deeper understanding of one another. And if that works, great, then it's worked. But if not, then you're right. I agree with you on that. I think that's it's time to move on. That's why people are feeling nostalgic for old Orange County, which is why there's rumors or buzzes around the Tamaras and Alexis's and the Vickies.
Yeah.
How many times I've received, you know, messages like, bring Vicky and Tamara back.
I mean, they are great on, they are great on, I gotta call it the Dorinda show, but they are because like the way they're talking, like just Vicky is. I'm remembering how like weird and
funny
Vicky is.
She's so
you
funny.
Know, where she's like, if I died today, I hope that you would tell everybody that I was sad. And they're like, what? That was on the episode last night. And she's just like odd, but in the best way.
Because you want to talk, like, you want to talk about her, and you want to engage her because she's funny, she's quirky, she's unpredictable,
right? But also with OC, you know, there's such incredible wealth here too. And I think, I think because the show's been on so long, our latest housewife has pled guilty. She's looking at 14 years. I do think people, whether the husband is saying no way.
Oh my gosh, all the time.
They're smart enough to say. So then the audience at home sitting in their average home, you know, in the middle of America are like, did you see her countertop? She's not rich enough to be on the show. And it's like, well, what do you want? Like, they can't get the super rich because the super rich are not.
You're hitting something really important, which is we always run into is the roadblock is the partner. Because when you get on the show as a housewife, you are allowing access to your whole family. That means your partner, your husband.
Yeah.
That means your children. And you said it, Noella, we didn't really have access to her. And you know, I've had conversations with her. I'm like, look, you held an orange. Right. And we didn't really even have that much access to your personal life. Like, that's an accomplishment. And she knows that this was a victory for her. And she's looking into other things, options as she moves forward.
Seeking arrangements, right?
Yeah, only seeking fans. Arrangements. She's working. Yeah, she's, yeah. Okay. I mean, she's going to,
selling vibrators. What do you got to do? What you got to do?
And she loves that.
Yeah. So good
not
for
so
her.
Not so good for the rest of the cast, right?
But you know, like I'm so, you know, I'm like, I call myself the housewife consultant. I think... One day I hope that like USC asks me to like do one of those special classes, you know, how they're doing like selling the Kardashians. I could absolutely do it. And I'm putting it out there in the universe because that would be a fun extra thing.
Well, all these conversations you have with people that have been in the industry, you have the information. You got the tea.
I love it. Anyway, so I filmed my teenage boys, 19 to 16, and I filmed them. There was a challenge where you asked them, like, what's a floppy disk and see how much they know. So I filmed them on TikTok. They've allowed me to start. I never used to put them on there when they were little, which I should have exploited them then. But I thought
100%.
I thought that wasn't right when I was at Chelsea lately. But whatever.
Oh, you had ethics back then.
Now I'm like, okay. So I filmed them and Annie put this thing together. And I thought it was freaking hilarious because at one point my older son is like, I'm so sick of these stupid TikToks. No, I don't know what a rotary phone is because I wasn't born in 1970. And he says this. And I think it's hilarious, you know. But I start to see a couple comments and some of them were like, he's so disrespectful. He's this. So I told Annie, I go, can you take it down until I talk to Drake? Because I don't want Drake to see the comments and then be like, Mom, I don't want you to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I learned that from the Housewives because I see that like the one I always talk about is that Meghan King Edmonds' stepdaughter was rude to her mother.
Yes.
Who later passed of cancer.
Yep.
It was prom night. Girls can be bitchy about photos. It was stressful. Not only is it prom night with people taking photos, you've got the Orange County, you know, housewife camera there. And
added stress.
And
you're
asked
so right.
her about that, Meghan, and she said it was very hard for her later. Mm-hmm. To see that and to get the comments and everything. Because I'm like, kids are brat. So anyway, I told Drake, he goes, I don't give a shit, post it.
Good.
But then I did put, I did write in the caption, I did say, so you guys know, these boys were raised by a raunchy female stand-up comic. I am fine with it. I think it's freaking hilarious. This is our dynamic at our home. May not be yours.
Share it.
But they are not in any way disrespectful to me, in my opinion. Like, but that's what you get when you put something out. You're going to get...
They can't judge your relationship with your own child. But they cannot feel like that would be something that they would like for themselves. That's separate.
And I also have to accept those comments because I'm putting it out there. I'm enjoying when a million people watch.
You're starting a conversation. Isn't comedy supposed to be, you know, controversial?
But I do think about that because I also think about the other thing that I bring up all the time was when Gina Kino showed up at her son's baseball game with Vicky, and he was like, I'm going to throw this bat at you or something. And as someone at home, I think my boys were like 7 at the time, and it like, at one point I'm like, I will not be Gina Kino. Like, and I was like, wait a minute, this kid didn't know they were showing up probably. The stress of being like 19 playing on like whatever, junior league, minor league, whatever it was.
Yep.
You know, and you
and teenagers say that, but we don't see it, and we don't see it on TV. Right. And we don't see it, you know, out of context.
And that's where I'm always like, ooh, you know, when you talk about the partner, including the partner and why that's such a hurdle or not, and why the marriages break up. And I've gone on nauseam about why, like, I think, you know, I always say it's three things. Either the wife's not happy with the husband and she wants him to see, she wants the world to see that he's mean.
Yeah.
Or she wants him to see that he's mean and then hope
and
that
change.
He'll be nice.
Yeah.
But 99% of it is he's mean. The world sees it.
And he's not going to change it.
And also, all of a sudden, this guy who has walked around the earth as a, you know, good-looking, successful white man, never had any trouble, like, is now getting all this comments of, like, you have a receding chin. You are mean to your wife when she asked you for coffee. Like, and then they come home and they fight with their wife. And then it was already a cracked foundation.
Yep. And this was the catalyst. I think some people do.
Yeah, it's always a catalyst.
I think they sign up knowing that, hey, this is now my platform.
Yeah.
you have been sort of the driving force for so long, but now this is my time.
Right.
And that creates a whole other level of tension on top of everything that you just listed.
Yeah.
And it's hard because these cameras, your life is under a magnifying glass and we're going to look for them. And a good example is you were talking about Megan King Edmonds. Jimmy Edmonds was delightful to work with.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it what you saw on camera. Very interesting because he would be like, hey guys, we're like, what lens are you using? What's that camera on this night? He was so cool. So nice. And we got him there. And then the cameras would go on and they've talked about this openly. He had a certain hesitation and it translated in a very weird way. And it affected their relationship, I think. But, you know,
she also told me when they were still together.
Yeah.
And she was on my show before they broke up. And she said, well, part of it was we had already talked about the Puerto Rico, whatever, Puerto Vallarta vacation. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to bring this up again and ask you about this again. So he was just like not an actor and like annoyed, you know?
Yes.
So yeah.
Often annoyed.
Which is why do you also tell them, hey, when you come back from Mexico, don't talk to PK about it until we come on Monday with the cameras.
Please.
So that it's fresh.
Yeah. But then sometimes if you do that too.
Yeah.
If you prepare them too much or tip them off, then, you know, you might not get the authentic reaction that you want. It's very, you have to be very, careful in how you interact with your cast because you want it to be the most authentic reaction and you want that. Yes, you want to save and you constantly are messaging and reminding, please save your conversations. Sometimes the tough ones people don't want to have on camera because it's tough, right? And it's uncomfortable and they don't know what the consequences are. But, you know, our job as producers is to get them there and encourage them to do it. It's like, look, you've signed up for this. The good and the bad. You have to open up because, you know, look, you're doing great and we're showing, we can't just run around town seeing you live your fabulous lifestyle. That's not enough. You've got to let us in and show the cracks because then when people watch these shows and they're rich and glamorous and beautiful and they have the lifestyle and then they fuck up and they trip and you want to see them dust themselves off and get back up. That's what's relatable because they're like, oh my God, they're not as perfect as anybody else. They're just like me.
Yeah.
And you have to show that. And it's like, I think one of the challenges with some people on these shows is they don't want that. They want the platform. They want to just show their lifestyle and that's it. You know, you know, light their cigarette, you know, after and, you know, fill their glass up. But you've got to let people in. Viewers are too smart. They can smell the bullshit. You've got to open up. You've got to let them see the cracks in your facade and see inside there. You have to be vulnerable. If you're not, then this may be not the right place for you.
And I've often like referred to as like the housewives are the female version of football and this is the all-stars and they're getting traded and this and that. Do you kind of feel like, I just realized this, like you're like a coach?
Yes, 100%.
You're a little bit of coach of encouraging them and then, but are you also a coach in the sense that you're telling more than one player, you're the reason this team is in the All-Stars.
Some of them know that you're coaching the others and some of them don't, and that's okay. But they know that my job as the executive producer is to keep the whole team, to use the metaphor, the analogy, and keep it moving. It's a ship, right? And I have to keep it going. And I think honesty is the best ingredient for someone in my position. You have to, like, you can't tell everyone everything, but you can tell them, look, you know I can't tell you everything. But I can tell you this, and if you don't get your opinion out or your thoughts out right now, there are could be consequences for that. You give them a heads up, and if it's the right thing, like I would never encourage someone to do something that they're not comfortable with or they don't feel good about, right?
Yeah.
Like I will give them suggestions, but they have to own it. Once I give it to you, and they know that, like every producer has a different approach, but I think the right approach is you say, listen, I'm going to tell you what, Heather, I think this is what you need to do right now. Because you're not seeing it clearly. This, and this is happening around you, and you have to make a decision right now. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. So what's your, you know, do you have a solution? Because I'm all ears. And then there's a negotiation that happens. And then we come up with a solution, hopefully. Mm-mm. Doesn't work all the time, you know, because they're on the show for a reason. And if they're stubborn, and if they don't want to listen to you, then that's part of their jam. That's their deal.
The music video at the end of this season.
Yeah.
Was that your idea to have a music video? A lot of people thought that was a moment.
Go back with the band. It was the band.
It wasn't a band. Oh, it was a band.
It was a band. But it was shot like a music video. That was what we did in the edit bay.
They had a band at the party, and they came up with a song that, what's his name, wrote? Or his wife,
Richard,
Daisy Fuentes wrote it.
Yeah.
And
Richard Marx.
I thought it was so cheesy, but a lot of my fans were like, a lot of my listeners were saying, like, I can't get the song out of my head.
Yes, and that's what we wanted.
I thought it was a weird, quirky, like, did it jump the shark? But I couldn't take my eyes off of
it. Good. I agree with you. I thought it was cheesy and corny, but we loved it, and we didn't want to shy away from that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it was also the perfect opportunity to bring some of these, you know, segregated group, this divided group together, because you want to see that. You do want to see that. It was getting a little ugly and dark in ways,
yeah.
I think, and people were feeling it, and this felt like the right solution. And the women came up with it. This was not my idea. This was not a producer idea. This was Shannon coming up, just like you saw on the show, coming up with the idea to have a rack and roll, not rock and roll, rack and roll, because she cooks ribs. And then she turned to Heather last minute and was like, can you help me with this? And Heather pulled it off. They collaborated in a meaningful way.
Heather can sing.
So good.
She sang at Tamara's wedding.
Yeah.
Which I went to Tamara's wedding.
She sang at the Angels too, the national anthem. She was incredible.
Yeah. She's
I'm like,
good,
can
she's
you please
good,
sing on the show?
She's a good singer. So that was good.
Yeah.
Now we're going
to. So I wanted to do, can I just up, say yes, real yeah. quick? I wanted to do a music video
okay.
with them. We didn't have the budget. We didn't have the time or anything like that. But I told them, and my idea was, and I hopefully I still get to do it, but how fun would it be to see them just in their kitchens at home being housewives?
Yeah.
And then when the chorus hits, they come out the door and they rip off whatever housewife clothing they're wearing. And they're in their like alter ego, right? They're like in black leather. They're in the characters that we saw kind of at the end. And then they all come together on the beach, classic Orange County moment when they're just, all I want is you, all I want is you.
Yeah.
Be beautiful. Be easy to do. I'm still available to shoot that music video for
well,
you.
Well, okay. So, so did that incident with Heather have anything to do with you being asked to take a pause?
I think, you know, I would like to think that no cast member wields that kind of power to hire or fire producers. That's Bravo's decision. That's the production company's decision, and they collaborate.
I do think other people would combat that with by saying people that like me that have been fans for like there's certain housewives that just like movie stars in traditional TV have more power than others.
I think some are more influential.
Vanderpump, Bethany, and maybe even Heather. So, like,
I would agree with that. I think it's fair. I think
if you have multiple shows or you know that type of thing, you're gonna have a little more say, as you would. Like, everyone always asks, like, why did I get this? I'm like, well, or why did this person get paid more?
There's a hierarchy.
And in movies too. Like, did you have the best agent? Do you have a history of more movies on the back end? You are gonna make more than your female counterpart. Like, it's not, you're not all working at a factory making chocolates. Like, it's not the same thing.
It's true.
So,
and I will say this, Heather is amazing. She's admitted that she's very controlling. She said that. And I told her, then let us see more of that. That gives a vulnerability, right? And I think that I fought really hard to tell her personal story. And I think we had some really beautiful moments with her family.
Yeah.
And I would like to think that she, respects that and appreciates that. And she's told me that. But I also know that she's very particular. And, you know, I would hate to think that she was not, happy with the blood, sweat, and tears that I put into this franchise for many, many years. And many years when she wasn't around. And it mattered a lot to me. And it's hard to step away from something. This has been my life. I've bought a house from the money I've made from working on this show. And I've built a career. I'm here talking to you because of my resume. So it matters to me. And it would really hurt me to think that she disliked me so much that she wanted me gone. And maybe that was she was using that as leverage to whether she would come back to the show or not. That is a very cynical take on the things, but I know that's been put out there. I would like to think that that's not true, because Heather is a really lovely person and she's very talented. I would like to see her open up more on the show and be vulnerable. And I really do think we accomplished a lot this season. And I think, you know, next season, you're going to see more of her. And I'd like to think that I was a big part of that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of women are that controlling person. A lot of people are laissez-faire. It doesn't,
it's
like,
okay.
You can be both, you know, you can't really be both. There's people that are successful being both, you know.
And they're high anxiety. Yeah. There's a lot of highly successful people who are high anxiety. They're controlling. They're, you know, and some, I'm not saying this about Heather, but some of them fight depression. And they hold it together beautifully because they're driven.
Yeah.
I think she is a very driven, ambitious person. And she wants things perfect. I don't blame her. This is a very messy forum. You have to be willing to get messy. You have to be willing to reveal yourself, like I was saying earlier, and be vulnerable. That's what people want to see. Let it go.
Let's talk about the other juiciest thing that happened during your time. Brooke's cancer, the fake cancer.
Season 10. Epic.
What were you guys thinking about when people started to suspect? Because in the beginning, we saw that Shannon, who is
amazing.
Shannon is that also that type of woman. This is also a Jill Zarin that knows doctors, that will get you in the school, that, you know, like, I'm friends with both of them and they are like that. And so, like, I can totally see that Shannon right away was like, I know someone at Hogue or whatever, and did 100%. All this. And then was like,
she knows someone everywhere, by the way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, someone like her would, you know, and be that helpful person. And so when this started to come about, I mean, was it Megan who cracked the case?
I think she started it for sure. And she was the one willing to say something. And she did it on camera because that's who she was.
And what did you guys feel about when the casserole thing came about? That it was like, we still don't know. What is your opinion? There's three pools of three things of thought. Vicky knew from the start and was like, nobody likes you, Brooks. We're going to do this thing together. I don't think that's the case. The other one was completely blindsided with the rest, you know, with everybody else. I think it's in the middle, where I think she started to suspect and wonder. Maybe she never had a straight out conversation with him.
But I think that's fair.
But she knew it wasn't true. And now it's too far.
I think that's probably fair.
In doing it, you know, and now like, oh, fuck. So now I'm going to push it a little further and be like, I'm being nailed to the cross. Why are you guys telling, you know, why won't you just be on my side? I expected a casserole. I didn't expect an interrogation, you know, but then because I don't think she thought about the implication of lying about cancer and what that means to everybody on this earth that either had cancer or knew someone who,
horrible.
And everybody knows someone who had cancer. Everybody on this earth knows someone who has suffered with cancer. So it was like, how do you lie about it? And since that, there's been so many other stories and stuff about people doing the Munchausens and lying about it and getting attention.
Yeah.
And here you're on a show where...
With Yolanda Hadid on Beverly Hills.
People will come after me for that, but I questioned that one too.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
And
I know.
I still kind of do, but whatever, come after me. But it's like, you know, you get all these people and they aren't Ethel and Lucy's. They all see themselves as Lucy's. They all see themselves as, you know, I'm the star.
The one in control.
And they want the attention.
Yes.
They all say, oh, you're thirsty. You're all thirsty.
That's why you're here.
I said every normal housewife that's not on TV that has more than 300 Instagram followers is thirsty, because that's beyond
Andy said it to Heather at the reunion.
Yeah, that's...
She's like, you called me a narcissist? He's like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we're all narcissists. That's why we're on the couch here.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Be self-aware.
Not everyone's a narcissist, but do you want attention and fame? Are you like the attention? Yeah, that doesn't mean you're a bad person.
No.
But this whole thirsty... So
it's part of our business.
When that was going down, like, just talk to me.
Oh my God, it was phenomenal.
Then.
I have to say, this
was the juiciest season of all seasons.
It was really, really good. And it was my first season on the show. I met Shannon. I was at the moment where she and David were at marriage boot camp.
Right.
And they did the, you
funeral.
Know, sort of the funeral. And they were reading the eulogies. And I was dying.
Were you like,
I was like,
the inside of your mouth? Or what?
I'm like, this is the best job ever. Like, I have arrived, right? Because it was my first season. And I had just come off of season 5 of Beverly Hills, and it rotated because the production company does both.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my God, my life is so great right now. And I remember Shannon going outside, and she was with David in the car, and she was like, you know, we have the IFBs and we can hear her.
Yeah.
And she goes, I love Thomas. He's my favorite. Aww. And I there was a walkie in the car, and I was like, copy that, Shannon. Thank you. And she died because she didn't know I could hear her.
Yeah.
And she just like erupted. She's like, ah, you know, that crazy, like fun Shannon. And that was the beginning of a long relationship there and watching her. But I have to say, okay, so back to your point. About the cancer stuff. This is the thing. It was happening and then everyone was rolling their eyes on our end. In production, a lot of producers are like, what? What's happening? Is this real? This is
so
gross.
So they believed that he did have cancer in the
show. No, we didn't. We didn't. We thought that the speculation was gross.
Oh.
Like, why would... Yeah. Like, at first, right? Because I think a lot of viewers did as you're watching it unfold. But we literally were at a point where some people on the team were saying, we need to move away from this. This is gross. This is not good, but our job is to follow what happens on camera. So we stuck with it because the ladies didn't stop. They didn't stop investigating. They didn't stop inquiring, and they didn't stop holding Vicky and Brooks accountable. And it ended up, what season of Housewives have you ever seen where there's one storyline that is that riveting that makes like one of the best seasons ever? Not many.
I think that might be the only one. I mean, I'm just trying phenomenal. To think that there's... Yeah, that there's literally just an A story. There isn't a B, C, or D.
And you just couldn't get enough of it. Yeah. And then the printout from Hoag, and they're looking at, Tamara's looking at the type, and she's like, this looks like it's edited here. Like, there was stuff that was mind-blowing. So we were along for the ride, too. That's the same thing as, like, the Nicole James thing. Like, we're just here documenting this. You guys are doing this, not us. We have nothing to do with it. And this is riveting, so we're just going to keep following it. Does anybody else want to talk about this? Okay, let's get the cameras over here. Go. What do you have for us now? It was so amazing. Incredible.
And did Brooks ever try to come after you guys? Like, you ruined my life? Like,
I don't know. I mean, look, people always, they send their lawyers with their letters and their threats all the time in this business. And the thing is, you know, like we do, we sign NDAs. And they sign an appearance release, and it's a legal document, and we're allowed to do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, the hard thing is when somebody's no longer on the show, like, you know, if like, you know, there's a marriage split or something and the ex doesn't want to sign for the kids, that's where it gets really hard. And, you know, and the housewife's like, please. And they're like, I hate you. I don't want to be a part of your world anymore.
Yeah, I was fine with our kid being on it before, but now because I know it's important to you.
Hell no, because now I have leverage.
Yeah. And then I always feel bad for those housewives like Brandy. And
could you imagine if we had access to Brandy's personal life?
Because I know Brandy as
fascinating.
I know Brandy as a mom and a boy mom and stuff, and I relate to that. And I think it's such a fun dynamic. What a side you would have seen
from her, because she was always so big. But to see a softer side, to see the motherly
side. She said that. She was always said that she was bummed because she is the mom that's like making the tacos for the kids and joking with them.
Oh my God, I'd love to see
that. A similar relationship with my son. So I'm like, God, if that was never shown, then of course people are like, that they'd be like, that drunk Heather always out doing stand-up, drinking with her friends. Well, that's all you can show.
That's all you see of me. Yeah.
That's all you can see of my life. Yeah. Like, that's not, So I understand why.
And that was a hard thing for Noella too.
Yeah.
Anybody that you're dealing with in that situation, it's like, because as producers, you want to see all the different sides of them.
Yeah.
Not just one, but that was hard with Brandy, especially. When are her kids turning 18? Because maybe she's back in the mix.
I think the older one must be 18 because they're very close to my kid's age.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. You think she might be back in the mix?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, when you don't have to rely on the ex.
So you worked on, so then you worked on Beverly Hills.
Yep. 5, 6, and 7. And I was the co-executive producer on that show.
And that was Amsterdam.
Oh.
Brandy's kids are 19 and 15.
19 and 15. Okay, so if the other one, a couple years.
I did see the 19-year-old for a second as she's packing to go to Dorinda's. So if she was to come back on the show, I don't know if I think the kid goes to college, but I don't think he goes to, I think he's in California.
Do you think that her appearance on the Ultimate Girls Trip is a good calling card to 100%. Maybe getting back in?
I do.
I mean, I think they're using these little spinoffs as a tester. That's why I think there's a lot of rumblings about Tamara coming back to the OC.
Yes.
Because, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but you can tell me she's probably great on it. She does her job.
Yeah. No, she's good. She's funny.
And the trips are the best. Anyway, it's a brilliant concept.
It really is. And then, with that one, Dorinda is really horrible, definitely has an alcohol problem. It's very obvious. And at one point, Brandy goes, I'm telling you, you are, what I kind of like is they can break the fourth wall. They're talking about being ex-housewives.
Yeah, they have to, right? Yeah.
Dorinda, I'm telling you, you're being really messy. And if you think you're ever going to get asked back, you're not. If you continue to drink every night and be a bitch, she basically says that. She goes,
it's interesting.
She goes, because I've been there and it didn't work in my favor. So I'm telling you. And then, of course, Dorinda's like, I really don't drink that much when I don't have people at this. I'm really kind of an antisocial person. All right.
We get it.
Like, yeah, I mean, I hope she comes back. And part of her journey, you know, should be let people address that, you know, because clearly.
Yes.
I'm not saying she's an alcoholic, but does she have a drinking problem? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, 12 drinks in a day is a drinking problem. Like saying weird, mean things is a problem. It doesn't mean you can never drink again, but you got to admit, like, I've had one too many nights in my 57 years that are not something I'm proud of. And she even said, I had the morning after paranoia and anxiety after drinking. Mm. And I'm like, yeah,
that's a telltale sign of something's going on.
Something, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So, like, it's an issue. I'm not saying it's, you know, full-blown rehab, but it's an issue.
Yeah.
And, but that's what we also like to see, you know?
We do. We want to see how they cope, how they manage. And you want to root for them. You want them to do well. You want them to be able to have a few drinks and not go too far.
Now, do you think Kim will ever come back on Beverly Hills?
I love her. She, you know, no, but I think the brilliant thing about her role is coming in and out, or, you know, dipping in and out, like as making some appearances. I love her in that role.
What was more horrifying? The fact that she was dating that guy that she met down in her mailbox, that she thought she was pregnant, or that she accused Kyle of stealing her house. I mean, they were all like amazing moments.
But she just delivers amazing moment after the other. And if I could tell you the things that happen behind the scenes with her, she is a riot. She is hilarious.
People always show that clip of her making the chicken salad with her hands.
Yes.
While her daughter's getting her makeup done for like the prom or something. I mean,
she's truly original. She's truly unique.
Well, it's like what we love about those is that they have this history, yes. You know, and
you can't shake that.
And a Beverly Hills history, a child star history, a single mom history, several husband history. Like, it's so juicy. It's a 12-layer juicy cake.
And Kathy are they're gold. And it is fascinating. You're right, because it goes deep. It's so layered. And there's way more than we'll ever see. And we're getting enough to wet the palate on the show.
I had someone send me many years ago. It was on YouTube. It's gone now. Kim, Kyle, and Kathy did their own sizzle reel for their own reality show. Were you ever privy to this? I'd love to
see that. No.
I actually was like, someone needs to tell Kyle to like get this removed. It was so... They're at Kathy's house, I think, and they're making lunch, and they're going to go down around Beverly Hills and give lunches to homeless people and ask them if they would like to get a manicure and pedicure with
them.
Oh my
God. Oh my God. Is it super actory? They probably scripted it out.
No, it was just uncomfortable.
It was weird.
Kim is like, what would you like to do? Would you like to learn about computers?
Oh my God, you sound like her. And it was really good.
15 years ago, and I'm like, this woman is clearly, you know, mentally off. And then I'm like, wait, you're taking these people off the street to the pedicure place? Like, maybe the pedicure place, they're going to be like, wait, hold on a minute. Like, you know, like, it was so.
Are they aware that you're doing this?
The cameraman who's filming it is like a heavy breather.
Oh, you can hear him breathing?
You hear the breathing, like.
You're like, is that a stylistic choice?
And then the music is
presentation.
Beverly Hills. That's what I want to. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But what do you think that the scene of Lisa Rinna breaking the glass, what were you guys thinking that was all about when Kim said, let's talk about the husband?
We had just arrived in Amsterdam. That was our first day filming. So we were settling in because, you know, we usually, these trips are typically 3 to 4 days, 5 if we're lucky. They're getting smaller and smaller each year because they want more and more and more. Anyway, but we had just arrived. We were settling in. We have our video village where the monitors are and we're all watching. The producers are, you know, chit-chatting and seeing, watching what's going on. And when she did that, and Eileen was like, beast, right? The beast moment.
No, she said something like, now wait a minute or something. She's like, I've had enough of you, you beast. And then Eileen goes, beast.
Who?
Beast.
How dare you?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so epic. And I love Eileen. Her reaction is just so good. That's one of the most iconic moments, I think, in housewife history. We literally, and then Kyle gets up and runs down the street. It was so dramatic. We're laughing. I mean, it's terrible. But, yeah. You know, it's like we're watching a movie. We're watching TV right there. But we have to be in the moment. We have to, like, continue producing them, right? So right. We're, like, laughing and pulling our shit together as producers. And we're like, I looked at my producer colleague, and I was like, we got it. I'm like, we could pack up and go home now. Like, we've got it. The trip is in the can. And it just kept going. And it was so brilliant.
Well, now, what do you, why do you think she was so compelled to, why that was so such a trigger to Lisa? People have so many theories of when she'll, let's talk about the husband. The one was, he's gay. I never believed that true. I introduced Lisa, there's no reason to believe it, right? I think it's because he did a movie 20 years ago that was very controversial at the time.
What a great actor.
Where he played a gay man.
Yeah.
Which, that's acting.
Yeah.
It's called acting.
Yeah, good for him. And he's willing to do it and be an A-list actor to do that at that time. He's a trailblazer.
I want to say it was like 30 years ago. It was so long ago. And it was a very like, ooh, like, oh my God, this guy's married. But he realized he's going to go forward with his feelings for this man. So juicy. And then, so I'm like, is that what she's talking about? Then I thought Brandy just put it in, no offense, but Dum Dum Kim's ear. Like,
well,
oh,
that's
my,
the thing, right?
I didn't know if that was it. Then there's a rumor that had an affair with this actress who accused him of, you know, physically assaulting her. There's that rumor out there, just a rumor.
Right.
What, or... No, or she just said it to, because she was just trying to irritate her. And then Lisa, being a soap star her whole life, who probably has broken fake glasses.
We should see the footage. She probably has.
You know, like, you know, if you...
She knew exactly what she was doing.
On TV sets, bottles, you know, you always see like an old Western, a bottle smashes on your head. Now imagine if you really took a real glass and hit it on someone's head, it wouldn't break. So I think she's
break their head,
that,
probably.
And then the glass goes and it's like dramatic, but I'm like, this was what
she was triggered. She was triggered because this is the thing, right? And this is what we always tell everyone. Don't engage. If someone's trying to get your, If someone's trying to get your goad, don't fall for it. Because if you do, then people are going to think that there's some validity to whatever accusation they're making. Why would you respond like that?
Also, isn't there also in your brain?
But she's tough,
Lisa Rinna. Yes, react because it's going to make great TV, and that's what everybody wants. The people at home, the
she has a natural instinct for that, doesn't she?
Yeah,
she's very good at that, and I think that she's willing to respond in a big way,
right?
Because that's who she's become, as who she is as a person.
Yeah,
and yes, and she's not afraid to do it when the cameras are there. So yeah, I think it's a combination of all that. But I don't know. It's just like phenomenal when you see that. You're like, what just happened?
And then you also worked on Dallas.
Dallas season 3. Oh, that was fun. I love
those
gals.
So we had Leanne, Brandy, Deandra, Cameron. What was going on in that season?
Was that
Thailand? No, that
No, we went to Denmark. We went to Copenhagen.
Oh, okay.
And they all dressed up and
got naked in that thing.
Yeah, got naked in
the thing. Why do you think Dallas just didn't really make it?
You know, I really thought that season, I enjoyed it so much. And I thought, this is such a dynamic group of women. It's interesting. They're Southern. You know, they're eclectic. I think that, well, it got a little, it started going in the sort of like, you know, the tough waters of like racism and not being open-minded. And I think that these are natural growing pains for like where we are as a society. You know, I think it happened on New York.
Right.
I think it's happening on other franchises.
And I said, you know, everybody at that time.
Kelly Dodd, season 15.
Yeah.
We didn't shy away from Black Lives Matter because Bronwyn was engaged in it. I was like, and they were like, can we talk about this? I'm like, yes, you can. Is this part of your world? Is this your reality? Then we need to talk about it.
Well, I was saying, you know, people are like, oh, I don't want to see this. I'm like, well, 6 months ago when they were filming it, you were talking about this with your girlfriends at lunch. We all were. That's what was happening.
It's a reflection of what history of our culture. And I think we need to keep that going. I think there's growing pains right now with all the Housewives franchises because of that, because we are also like going into a new like realm.
There's some dog that wandered in her backyard.
Another one?
But it's not mine.
See?
It's not mine.
They like me. They want to see me too.
But anyway. Cutie.
Yeah, I think it's a part of the evolution. And I think it's unfortunate. I'm sorry to see that. I thought it was wonderful to be able to be in the sort of Dallas, you know, inner society.
If our society hadn't gone through that, if they could have survived just being their like wacky Dallas selves.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I think, you know, I think it's healthy. I think sometimes there's like, you know, sacrifices that have to be made to get to the next level. It might come back. Who knows? You know,
I mean,
with a different cast in a couple years.
Do you think Salt Lake would be as successful without Mary Crosby and Jen Shah?
I think that this is the thing. When things like that come out on these shows, it's funny because we as producers and networks, I'm sure, are like, oh, this is not good. This isn't good. You know, this isn't our brand. This isn't where we want to go right. with this. But the ratings are through the roof. So it's this like, do we continue down this path? I mean, look at Erica Jane. Yeah. That's controversial. Like, are they, you know, did they do what is being alleged on the show or not? I mean, it's controversial and it's not necessarily what you want to be focusing all your time on, but viewers are eating it up
yeah.
and the ratings are big. So it's a balance, you know, like it's hard to say because Beverly Hills, if that hadn't happened with Erica Jane, was it last season, right? Where would it be?
Yeah.
Because remember Lisa Vanderpump had exited and she was a huge mainstay and a huge fan favorite. Someone who probably wields a lot of power, right? And influence. And everyone was like, is this show going to survive without Lisa Vanderpump? Well, and look what happened.
That was the one, that was a season that I can only remember. It was the Puppygate.
Puppygate. Yeah.
Yeah. Who was guilty of what with the Lucy Goosey Apple Juicy, whatever her name was. Yeah, and Lisa Vanderpump, anytime I would see her, she'd be like, I mean, I think I sold stories to Raider Online. I mean, come on. Like, she will never.
That's a good one, too.
She will never. Yeah. And that was another one where I was like, but I always said, you know, the fact that she didn't go to the reunion and gave up $250,000 makes me wonder.
It does make you wonder.
It makes you wonder, like, really, mm-hmm. what is someone going to whip out that you cannot deny?
Right.
So whether it was she did it or hinted for someone else to do it,
there's more to the story, the narrative. I think when somebody's ego gets the best of them and they're not willing to admit something and they just cut it off completely because they can do that in their real lives.
Yeah.
That's dangerous on reality TV because then you do look guilty. Then you do if you shut down or you don't address something or you walk away or you refuse to participate. You don't have a voice. So everyone else is going to speak for you. That's not right. a smart move usually. You want to show up and take the heat and address it and defend yourself because you have a better chance of winning right. and surviving than being absent.
But I think being the queen bee and everything and knowing that like I yep. have these other shows and everything, I'd rather walk away than, I don't know, be caught in a yeah. lie or continue or whatever. True.
Well, yeah. she has other options. I mean, yeah, Vanderpump Rules exactly. is huge.
And then you also worked on Potomac.
I did. I love Potomac. Season 3 and 4, it was, the show was really emerging yeah. as a viable franchise. I mean, it always was from the beginning, but I think it was growing in popularity. People were like, Potomac, never heard of it. And now it's like so all people can talk about.
So you were able to do Potomac and OC because
I was able to, yes. Well, I did miss one season of OC. I did miss season 13.
Yeah.
But I went from Potomac season 3 to Dallas season 3 to Potomac season 4 and then to Orange County season 14. And then I've been on it since season 14. And so I inherited OC as the showrunner when Vicky became a friend. I'm like, really? You're gonna give me the season when the OG of all the franchises is getting demoted to a friend? I mean, come on. She's iconic. This is not a tough ask, right?
Right. I think it's a...
and then I had COVID. And then, I mean, you know the
Yeah, you go through COVID. Story. You go through the social, you know, injustice time of our society and people yep. talking about it. And then you get people that are like, I don't want to hear any politics. I just want to see the girls get drunk and have fun.
Yep.
These people are old and racist. Let's get some new people. I hate the new people. I mean, it's a hard, like,
it's a tough one. It's a conundrum.
Bravo being like, what the hell are we supposed yeah. to do? And one of their solutions is New York. We're going to have the OGs, the women like
it's interesting,
over
isn't
50,
it?
And we're going to have maybe find some new young moms.
Capitalize on it. Smart. Yeah. So now they
find
have two.
Some new youngies that are going to give us 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, just like any business, you might get rid of the CEO making $2 million and keep the 35-year-olds that are making, you know, whatever, $100,000.
Yep.
It's like, it's a little bit of that too. And so, and then I wonder if by letting them go, saying goodbye, and then you bring them back, do you not have to pay them that $1.2 million anymore?
I think you do. I think you do because they've earned it.
I mean, I want them to just come back. But
right.
Like, yeah. But I'm just wondering if
is it worth it? Because, you know, I think you're absolutely right.
Sorry,
I think you're,
sorry.
It's okay. I think you're right about the branding and the idea of like marketing and moving forward. Stepping away sends a message.
Yeah.
And then people forget what that message was.
Yeah.
And then you bring them back. Like a Tamara, for example, people were sniffing like, you know, oh, is she just shit stirrer, they call her, right?
Yeah.
Is she just shit stirring just for the sake of the cameras? And it's like, well, when has she not? And that's why you love her, right? Remember, for 13, 14 years, whatever she's been on?
Yeah.
That's why you love her. But because it's been run out so many times, played out so many times over the years, maybe it's time to just step away for a minute. That's why I think she would be a viable person to come back, because she knows she's fun. She's good. She knows what she's doing. She knows this game.
Have you ever, and you don't have to be specific. So you have those meetings coming back and people are aware that you do this and you're like, okay, so I'm a housewife. Okay. Yeah. Just pretend. And you're like, Heather, we're going to start filming in 2 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like, ask me like, what do I have going on in my storylines?
Yeah.
So how, and what so if what someone you, has nothing? Okay. So just tell me. Okay?
Oh my God. That's interesting. Yeah. And like, I've been in that like seat before. Me, I'm like, okay, so nothing really is going on. Oh, you have a business you want to promote or this or that.
Okay. So let's say
that's the worst.
Let's say it was my year. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Heather, like what's new going on with you?
Yeah.
Still doing the podcast.
Great.
Still putting it on YouTube.
Okay. Fantastic.
We already went through the college thing with him.
Yeah.
So he's already there.
Okay. There's nothing there. Okay. Got it.
We haven't started the college process.
Okay. Okay. So there's nothing there too. Okay. Got it.
My daughter's already been out of school for a few years. So she's still doing the same thing, finding herself.
Yeah. And your relationship with your husband is perfect, right?
It's not perfect. It's the same.
Okay. Same. Okay.
It's always been.
Got it.
Like,
nothing new.
Yeah. Like, well, okay, you'll have your fun bicker moments, okay, but then it's over pretty quickly.
Okay. But he won't bicker on camera, I'm sure.
No, because probably he knows not. How why it would works he? Now.
Yeah, because he'll look
and
bad.
And if we go to the parties, he's not going to engage. He's going to have a cigar in the corner with the other dad. That
right,
and
talk to
engage.
The trees.
Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And
sounds riveting so far. What else you have going on?
We're going to redo a countertop in my bathroom.
Oh, that's always just good. I love a reno.
We're not. We're just doing the countertops.
Oh, okay. Well, that and could be a little beat.
Actually, it's going to be done in about a week.
It'll be great in a round robin. You know, but I don't know if we have a scene, but a round robin's perfect.
What's a round robin?
You know, when we go from one act to the next, it's like you see segments of each of the housewives and then you land at a moment. Okay. That's called a round robin.
Okay. So both my elderly parents, they died a few years ago, so they're coming back.
Okay. Do you ever go visit them? I mean, that might be a little dark.
No, they're urns, and we put them in a place all the way in Riverside.
Okay. Yeah, not too sexy over there.
No. And then,
are you going to get any procedures done? This is a good question to ask a new housewife. You don't need it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
If I can get it for free, I think I might wait 2 more years for a lower facelift. But like
2 years, maybe they could do it
but
now?
But if it means I'm going to get, sure. If it means I'm going to get fired, we could do that. I also just I did fall on my head, but that was kind of last season, and I took a million tests, and I don't have anything wrong with me.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, so you're good. You're pretty normal. That's good. Things are going well.
Yeah. So So now, what do you do with that?
What the hell do you do with that?
I mean,
can you break a leg?
Can I make
something?
One?
Do you have a limp that
what
turns into something else?
Do you think anybody has? And it's a little controversial.
Yeah.
But do you think anyone in a desperate situation might ask their child to come out even though they're not? Ugh.
God,
or
that would
or
be
play
so
with it?
Horrible.
I think it's happened.
If that's the case.
I think it's possibly has happened. I'm not going to say with who.
Yeah.
But I think it's happened, you know, with, I'll be honest.
I'm
going to say this. I think the Bronwyn son doing drag seemed a little forced.
Okay.
Because the kid has never done it sit. Like, I've never seen anything where they're going consecutively to see him perform since she's been off the show.
I think, well, we know what it's clear what her family and their identities are. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that, I don't know the answer to that, but I would say that when you have an opportunity to be on a television show and you know it has to be entertaining and you want to take it somewhere, you might come up with some ideas that maybe you wouldn't if there weren't cameras around. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Like you might want to, like you were just giving me your rundown of what's going on in your life. If I say, well, look, let's jazz it up. Like, do you have any other ideas? Do you have any,
right.
I say, do you want to take salsa dancing? Is that something that you want to do to reignite your relationship with your husband?
Now I'm going to stay on the housewives. So I'm going to come up with some stuff.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So Peter and I have always talked about how weird we think swingers are, but now we're going
to
try it.
I thought, you know what? I thought you were going to say we're going to do tantric sex. I swear to God. I'm like, now you're talking. Now we're cooking with gas.
Oh, like a swing? Okay, we'll get a swing.
Okay.
Whatever. That would be so embarrassing. That I don't think I can do. Okay.
I don't want, but this is what I would say too. Don't want you to do anything that's not in your comfort zone. So we need to stay rooted in reality in your comfort zone here. So what else?
Reorganize my closet, get rid of some clothes.
Yeah. Right. You could donate to another housewife. That's smart. That's
help another housewife.
Well, I mean, you donate stuff. Your yeah. clothes, give it to another housewife who's in need.
And then, yes, exactly. I'm really generous. So if there's,
but we have to do something that hasn't been done before. Yeah. Sorry to burst your bubble.
See, this is where I do kind of feel badly when I'm even bored with someone's life.
Right.
When I see fans go, they have no storyline. I'm like, have you had an exciting storyline every year of
your
life?
I love you for saying that.
Have you had a mother going through Alzheimer's? You yeah. might have breast cancer and
yeah.
Your son got a DUI.
Yeah. Like, and you just committed tax fraud and you're going to jail.
Like, did you hit a jackpot yeah. of tragedy?
Yeah.
If you didn't hit a back jackpot of tragedy, what are we going to do?
I mean, seriously. And that's how some of these housewives feel. It's like, what the fuck more do you want from me?
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus. I mean, some of them lay it all out, you know, and I know.
And then you're like, I'm finally having a good year. But my this kids is the are doing thing. Fine. I'm in a normal relationship.
And you could defend some of these women, like yeah. like Bronwyn you brought up, for yeah. example. You know, you don't have to be a fan of hers. You don't have to like her one way or the other. But I admire her for opening up about her alcoholism.
And sexuality.
And her sexuality. Yeah. When people were saying she was making that shit up about her sexuality.
And
have you seen her lately?
And her alcoholism.
And her alcoholism too. Yeah. But when she opened up, and this is where it's like, it's tricky, right? Because my job is to go, like I'm following. Like, and if it's good, if it's juicy, we're going to go there. And this is, I commend her for opening up because she did that in front of all of us with crews everywhere.
I think she opened up but to the audience, and I believe it was real. I believe
yes.
the alcoholism
but the audience was
real,
like, oh.
And the sexuality was real. And they sometimes go hand in hand. Why yeah. are you being destructive? Yeah. It's because you're not facing who you really are. But to the audience, it felt like she had studied the show and decided, I'm going to blow it out.
Because they had established that she was a fan of the show.
Yeah, and I'm going to yeah. blow it out with not just one storyline, but 3.5.
Yeah.
And it just...
And during COVID.
Yeah.
And to be fair on that point, I'd like to tell everyone, we were shut down for many, many, many weeks.
Yeah.
It was a truncated season. I think we and the team created miracles with that season, like it or not, but, and we can't put a disclaimer on there. Oh, by the way, we were shut down for months and we still managed to have 14 episodes in like literally 9 weeks of filming. That's unprecedented. So we had the women self-film with their phones and we created, it may not have been your favorite episode, but some people called me and was like, that was really interesting. And that was like my favorite season. Wasn't everyone's favorite season, but you're not going to win it with all of them. And they shot their own footage and we put a whole episode together. Not one producer stood on set. We were all isolated. So to be fair, Bronwyn's story was not flushed out the way, it was very minimal. So it felt rushed. It mm-hmm. felt compact, but this did happen over a larger course of time. And I think to be fair, that season would have been phenomenal. And I think Elizabeth Vargas would have had more of a chance
if we
had more time.
I'm friendly with Elizabeth and like,
she's so nice.
She was disappointed not to be asked back. And she was like, yeah. come on, I got the shittiest season. I'm like on COVID, it's COVID time. We can't go on a trip and, you know, but.
And then we couldn't talk a lot about her husband too, because she's going through
couldn't talk about the ex-husband.
Brutal divorce.
And I like her, but I can see why they decided there wasn't really an avenue to go. I think it's hard when someone isn't married and doesn't have kids.
100%. It's always risky. And we talk about that. We're like, is there something here? But you hope. There is.
I mean, I know Carol Radswell, and I said the best thing about you, Carol, is that you got to do the show and you didn't destroy any relationships. Your kids don't hate you because you don't have kids. You didn't divorce your husband because you were a widow. You weren't married. You were still
Check.
Really fun and interesting.
Lucky. Yeah.
But at the same
That's
time-
That's an accomplishment.
That also might have been the reason why they felt it had run its course.
Yeah.
You know, like-
Right. Because where are you going to go?
Right.
And that's another thing with some of these other housewives. It's like, you know, you've seen it and they've been on a long time. It's like, where do you go with them now? You asked me this earlier. It's like, well, where do you go? Where do you go with someone who's been on for 13 years, 12, 10, 7?
Now, were you the one that had to call Tamara and tell her?
No.
She talks about that moment a lot. She shared that.
No. I called Bronwyn. and told her. But the big dogs called Tamara.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because it was just a different, I don't know, a different scenario.
Yeah. Now, how do you
And they have a long-term relationship.
Okay, now tell me, because now I've been on for 6 years.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, I've just continued to do my podcast, which you show 1 second of. And
yeah, there's only so much podcasting we can do.
Yeah, and like Peter,
that keeps people's interest.
And Peter and I have gone to Costco numerous times and made jokes about that. And it just it feels played out. People are done with my teenage boys. So just tell me, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Heather. How are you?
Oh, so good. I'm just folding some laundry.
Oh,
we could do that next season. Talk about it. We're gonna get a new washer and dryer.
Do you have a new like method to folding? Is it like triangular or square now?
I watched that lady, but yeah, you know, the cute girl, Kamoki, or I don't know.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah,
I couldn't I couldn't figure it out. But
no?
Yeah, but I'm so excited.
Do you think there's a deeper rooted issue here with you, for like why you can't figure out how you're folding? Maybe we should explore that. Well, maybe this isn't the right conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm so excited to start filming because I'm going to go on an organizational journey because I just watched that girl's series on Netflix. And I just think it would be so fun for the people, the Bravosphere, to see me like redo my pantry. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Like Khloe does,
I hear
like
you.
Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, I
just
know.
Think they want
I love
to
your
see,
pantry.
They want to see Heather McDonald just like color coordinate. Though I do think I'd buy a lot of food we wouldn't eat, but I will totally do that.
I know you're very particular about your food.
Yeah.
And Heather, I wish I just want to jump into it. I just want to get to the point. And this is really hard.
Are we meeting
hard.
At Nobu
film? Oh my God, Nobu might not be the best place to meet for anything.
No, I mean to film. I just want to know because I met a waiter.
No, they
there.
Won't let us film anymore after what happened last season.
Oh.
It was just a bad reflection on them. No, I'm just kidding. I think we're in good standing with Nobu. They actually loved us. They were great. No, but I have to tell you, this is really classic, right? I'm just going to tell you. Bravo's deciding to go in a different direction.
A direction.
They're casting right now and they're still figuring it out, but they've deciding to sort of depart from you.
Why?
I'm sorry.
I mean,
this is really awkward and hard
I feel
to
like,
tell you.
I mean, is there something I could do? Could I get a breast reduction?
This is so hard.
What about
Heather?
Vaginal rejuvenation? Then Peter tells it if it worked or not, if he feels a different vagina.
Well, maybe if you take a step away and get your vaginal rejuvenation and some other things and we keep the conversation open.
Should I self-film the vaginal rejuvenation? Like put
yeah,
a little
if
camera
you feel
down there and just
comfortable with that.
Yeah, if it gets me back on the show, they can see my vag and my smaller vag.
Like before and after, stuff is always really good. And maybe keep that together and then we can have this conversation down the road. I really want you to keep your relationship
intact. So when people
ask
me what happened, like, how do I write that on Instagram? Do I say I'm put on pause like Dorinda? Do I say I want to spend more time with my kids?
I think you should.
I think
graciously,
spending more time with my kids, great.
Great, more time with your kids. Graciously bow out, keep the relationship open. Don't burn any bridges.
Okay.
You never know where this could go. We could come back and rearrange your pantry and see your vaginal rejuvenation.
Okay, so I quickly wrote up what I'm going to put on Instagram.
Okay.
It's a photo of me holding the orange. After 6 years of the greatest time, memories, ups and downs, tears and laughs, I've decided to take this time with Bravo's blessing to spend more time with my kids, organize my pantry, work on myself, my inner self. And by inner, I mean my vaginal walls. Please follow my journey on TikTok as I seek a tighter vagina and a happier marriage.
And don't forget to thank your producers.
And I'd like to thank all the producers, everybody at Bravo, and especially Andy, his two kids. I will continue to give gifts. I have their birthdays in my phone as alert, all three of them. I promise I will be one of the 65 housewives that wish everyone a happy birthday before anybody else. So keep me in mind.
And you're going to want to hang out with them too, like while you're stepping away for
right.
photo opportunities.
And I don't know why I haven't been called for BravoCon, but I already bought a ticket. So I'm going to be just walking outside and you can probably get a photo with me.
And I'm not going to thank my executive producer, just my makeup, hair and makeup people.
Right. Does that happen to you in that bugs?
All the time.
And my glam squad.
I get jealous.
My glam squad.
Because I'm a thirsty producer.
My glam squad, Raul and Maricel, thank you. And yeah, exactly. It's always that. It's always, oh my God. And you're like,
well, because
what?
They make the best selfies. That's what it is. I've got it down. I've had so many photos taken. The cast has taken so many photos with me, but they're like a little orange looking or something like that. And I always look great. And they're like, no, we're not posting it.
Yeah, do not post. Is a piece of plastic in your wallet doing enough for you? Because with the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start building credit with everyday purchases and on-time payments. You see, with Credit Builder, members can increase their credit history with no annual fees or interest. And having a good credit score can mean getting better car loan rates or renting apartments easier. Or just bragging rights around the dinner table. Who doesn't love that? So continue your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/juicy. That's chime.com/juicy. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to a license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for a secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary, and some user scores may not improve.
I think like just what I love sharing from a producer's perspective is because we don't get to share as much as the people who are on camera.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you doing that.
Oh, so thank you.
It's amazing. And this is fun. You're just fun to hang out with. I think that, you know, I'm going to tell people who are on these shows, you know, respect your producers, work with them, collaborate. Hopefully they're good at what they do and they're there for a reason, and be kind. We're making television because this is fun and we're out there together to be inspired and to share with the world. So let's collaborate. I think the industry has gotten a little, you know, it's gotten a little messy.
Yeah.
I think we need to get back to, we're here to entertain people and we're here to work together and respect one another. And you know, you've been in the business forever and there's some shit that goes on that is just not okay.
Right.
People need to respect each other, be respectful, and know that we're working our asses off so we all can be successful together.
Right. And I think some of these women, all of a sudden, you know, they never were even in high school play. And now they're the star of a show in 122 countries.
That's a lot.
And they sometimes don't act professionally because they're not a professional versus Elisa Renner or Kyle have been working since Kyle was like 4. So yeah, Kyle is on time. Kyle does deliver.
Kyle's a professional. Elisa Renner is too.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Not everyone does.
When I've interviewed housewives, I do like the professionals because they're the ones that come alone. They're on time. The Denise Richards, all of them were just so easy. And the other girls were too, but then there'd be some who were like back and forth, flake that morning, this or that. And I'm like, okay, forget it. You know, whatever. Yeah. But yes, I love that.
The people that say negative things to producers and are like, I hope you vomit in your sleep and die tonight. Or
they say that, or, like,
someone has said that off camera to producers before. Or people, you know, there's been physical things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that some people have said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that out of frustration or whatever. But this needs to be a professional environment where people are respecting each other and coming together in the same cause of making great TV. We don't have to get dirty with each other. But then there's the other side where it's like beautiful and there's like these families, they want to feed us and they want to welcome us into their homes and they're so gracious, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we all just need to remember that we're here trying to elevate each other, you know? And I think that goes for all the shows that I've worked on and everywhere else too.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
I love that.
Just put it out into the universe because we're all working hard to be successful. And I think we can lift each other up.
And I love these shows. I never want to see them go away. You know, like they're so entertaining and I get invested and I love talking about them and all of that. I love interviewing all the people, including behind the scenes.
Making you laugh.
Yes.
Because that's a big part of it.
Love it.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
You've been such a delight. Tell us
what
can you share that now you're working on going forward? Any shows coming up or anything you can hint at?
You know, for sure. I it was hard leaving OC. It was hard. I'm not going to lie. That's like been my family. Not only
that's what Tamara said. She said it was really
literally
hard.
A family. And I know I've seen people's kids grow up on that show. Literally.
Right.
I know Shannon's kids from way back and we have a relationship,
Dream
Oh my God,
catcher.
That was the blue beat. It was the best. I wanted to do a music video of that too. I think maybe I should go into music videos.
All her, I'm available. All her girls are great. They're so
great. So yeah. Great. Yeah. You know, once the sting subsided and I was thinking, I saw a whole new world of opportunity, and I haven't been out interviewing in so long. I had two job interviews. One was, it was Discovery Plus, I think it's called, and then a Netflix show, and I got offered both jobs right out of the gate. So I'm
can you
proud
do both?
No.
Oh.
No, they conflicted. So I chose to do this presentation with Netflix, and I haven't done a presentation in a long time.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun because it's like creating a whole new series, right?
Yeah.
And you have to package it up and, you know,
make like a sizzle reel.
Make a sizzle reel. Yeah. It's a 20-minute presentation, waiting to hear back from them. It's like a real estate themed thing in the Big Apple.
Oh, the Big Apple.
Really,
okay.
Really good. Really excited about it. Hope I'm still
did
around to do that.
Did you work on the in Tampa? Selling Sunset.
I did Selling Tampa. Is it Selling Tampa?
Now, a lot of people like that. I did not see that. But yeah. Then wasn't there another Tampa show about lesbians, or was it lesbian realtors?
No, they were there's a show about lesbians in Tampa, and they were filming at the same time we were, and I was hoping we would cross paths because I was dying to meet them.
Do you think it would have worked if it was just only
lesbian realtors?
Late in life lesbians and late in life realtors. All late in life lesbians who just got their real estate license living in Tampa.
I love that. Can we do that show together? Because I live for it. Selling Tampa, the lesbian edition.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a thriving gay community in Tampa. I'd never really been there. I just heard bad things about Tampa. And it's actually really a beautiful place.
I have a friend who's very...
And open.
My friend lives in a beautiful Davis Island.
Oh.
So she's...
I ate the little Mexican restaurant.
And whenever
there.
I do the Tampa Improv, I would stay with her. So I've had... And my crowds were great,
right?
So I had a great time in Tampa.
It's so great.
Yeah.
The Selling Tampa was amazing. One of the best casts I've ever worked with. You know, just... So beautiful, lovely
women.
Now,
is that
women.
Not coming back, or you don't
it,
know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I think, I think they're still deciding on what's going to happen with that. I hope it does, because I love those gals.
Yeah.
It was a fun show. It's fun to be a part of something new.
Okay, what if your show goes?
Yeah.
Okay? And they don't ask Ramona back for the OGs. Could Ramona be a realtor on your show?
Oh, my God. I would live for that. You know... She could do it. She's got the skill set.
No, she has a license.
Oh, amazing.
She's actually doing it.
Right, and she has the personality. So
I think she's with Douglas Ellen.
Oh my God, that's phenomenal.
I used to be a realtor too.
Could you imagine she's going to get into that? Well, I love that because like New York and realtors, it's like everybody had a different past life.
I'm going to just end on Ramona pitching herself
okay,
to you.
I'm ready.
Because she was not, for some weird reason, not asked back on the OGs or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to tell you, I've actually been really always into real estate and styling gorgeous homes. And you know what? Since I've been doing this, it's like some really hot guys are hitting on me a lot that I could bring on. I could go on some dates. I could, you know, show you houses. I could, you know, hang out with these younger people because a lot of people think I'm as young as Avery, okay? And I'm really not, but I just have such a youthful skin. I'm telling you.
I'm sold.
If you need
sold.
Her, she's available.
Oh my God, I love you it. And if not, I'm coming to you.
Fine. I'm ready to do
let's
it.
Let's do it.
I've told ex-housewives. I told Kelly Dodd, I go, get your real estate license about a year and a half ago.
My God.
I go, get your
real estate. Why is she not listening to you?
She is.
She is. Is she going
to
She
told me
license?
She's either took the test or she's about to take the test.
She's going to be studying. Like, buy the fucking house.
And so I...
What are you waiting for?
I said
you douchebag.
About a year ago, I said, why don't you do that? Because this is before the Oppenheimer group came here and before Mauricio announced his. And I'm like, you know, there's going to be a real estate show out here and you could do that. I go, and if nothing else, you have this huge Instagram. Oh, yeah. Someone's going to get their listing just because you've got 800,000 people and the next top realtor only has 2,000. You know
what you think about Kelly Dodd? She's super smart.
Yeah.
And some ways not so smart, but I could see her doing that.
Yeah.
She's a good salesperson
and
she's charming
and she's redoing a house. She redid a house in,
oh, I
La
saw
Quinta
that.
Or Palm Desert.
I like the pool. So she has the
she has the paddle tennis.
The paddle tennis.
No, what is it? What's pickleball.
Pickleball.
I
saw the craze.
I play pickleball. No, but it's all good. I loved that you came here.
This
Thank
has been
you
a pleasure.
All,
we could talk all day.
I know my audience is going to like the Juicy Scoopers are going to be so enthralled. And
good.
I'm excited about all your next adventures and whether your pause is a forever or you come back like Dorinda. It doesn't matter. Like, we're going to follow all the shows you do.
I love that. Thank you for
you.
The support.
Can Bye.
I?